There's a time when Jesus turned to his followers and said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him various explanations about what the buzz on the street was. You know, you're a teacher, you're a good man, you're a prophet. Or some other people were saying he's a fraud, he's a cynic, he's a bad person. And there was all these sort of opinions floating around. But then Jesus turns to his own followers and says, "Well, what about you? Who do you think that I am?" And I just felt that God wanted to say that to us all this morning. You know, who do you think I am? Am I really Saviour and Lord? So Peter, one of the disciples, comes back to Jesus and says, "You are the Christ." And kind of we miss that sometimes because we think that Jesus Christ was just like Jesus' surname. But actually what it meant to be the Christ was that he was the sent one. He was God's answer to all of the problems of humanity. He was God's answer to everything. And it also implied kingship, the word Christ as well. It implied that he was actually king. And, you know, are we serious about this? God says to you, you know, Jesus says, are you prepared to put yourself under my lordship, under my kingship? Am I enough for you? Are you fulfilled in me, or do you want everything else in the world and I'm just a bolt-on? Am I just for Sundays, or am I for life in that sense? So Jesus wants to challenge us. Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Am I your Lord, your King, your Saviour, your everything? Or am I just an accessory?
Oh my goodness, our Jesus is so cool, eh? Like, yes, that's exactly in another picture. As we were worshipping our amazing Jesus, just showed me this picture of some people here. I feel when we were singing Amazing Grace, for you, that picture of being saved, like of coming to Jesus as Lord and Saviour, felt like you're going to have to leave life behind. I that it felt to you that you were going to have to go in a boat, like a refugee, and leave your country and go into a refugee camp that is going to be rubbish. But Jesus absolutely wants you to know that that is not the case. So in the Bible, our Jesus promises that he brings life and life to the full in John 10:10. So yes, there are stuff that making Jesus as your Lord, you will leave. But what you gain is life, life, life to the full, like everything that we need, like Claire is saying, everything that you need. So God just wants to say to you today, do not be afraid. And I speak courage to your hearts, because the other side of releasing things and giving Jesus as Lord is life. Like, and he is faithful. I can utterly... Oh, like amazing. He is amazing. He is faithful. He was promised. That's Jesus is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful and he is so good. And there is life. There is life. There is life. So I just speak courage and hope. Hope for life and life to the fullness. Life and life to the fullness. That is who our Jesus is as Lord and Saviour. Amazing, amazing. Oh, like amazing. It's just amazing. If I said he's amazing, and I love him, like, amazing.
That's good. Isn't it cool how, like, God joins stuff and, like, speaks to people and it all kind of, like, goes together in a cool way that just, yeah, I don't know, I just love the Holy Spirit and how he just merges things and speaks to us through different people and different pictures. It is amazing. So we have amazing road of hearing. who I love, and Rhoda is probably the most encouraging person I know, actually. I was just checking through all my people. She is a total encourager, and she is a woman who is fierce and a woman who encourages me to be who Jesus made me to be. And yeah, I just love how you pursue Jesus like fiercely and like with such passion, and yeah, you just run after him, and that like encourages me, Lord. And I love it when you speak, and I'm excited for you to speak. So yeah, Jesus is going to speak through this girl. Yeah, Jesus, we just ask that you would anoint Rhoda Fearon right now. The fierce warrior woman that she is. God, we pray your anointing upon her right now, Holy Spirit. That you would speak to every single heart in this room through her. That you would speak life, and you would speak courage, and you would speak hope to every heart right now, Jesus. We just choose, all of us, to have open hearts to hear from heaven right now. We just choose to listen in today, Jesus, to what you're going to speak to us through Rhoda. Yeah, we just ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. I love being part of a family. So this here is extended family. This is kingdom family. We're not here to do a religious observance. We're not here to do a service or to do a meeting. We're here because we are part of God's kingdom family. And this will be a forever theme for us. And this is something that we'll forever be just a chasing after in some ways. Of just coming to that, the fullness of expression. This is heaven touching earth moments. So when God thought of his church, he thought of heaven touching earth moments. That's what his church is to be. We are so nearly completion upstairs. It's going to be such a joy and an honor that our kids are going to be the first ones to use the bigger space upstairs before the lift is ready, which is just, I just love that, guys. Our kids really matter to us. Our kids are not the next generation. They are today's generation. And our kids have so much to give to the life of this community. So they're going to be moving up there as soon as we make it all safe and ready for them to do that. And then we've got the lift coming in the next 2 weeks. We're not entirely sure on the timescale on that, but we're excited to have a little bit more space. Will that be exciting? So last week we gathered and we just wanted to have more unreserved time to worship. And I know that that's not always comfortable for everybody, just to be in this place and space of just unreserved worship. But the Father came and met us in a special way. And I think especially the week after Easter, right? We are Easter people. We are Easter people. And as the Father spoke to us last week, we were just thinking about the resurrection, which is a funny word, isn't it? I mean, you might have heard it through the great song, I Am the Resurrection and the Life. Is that it? I am the, story. I am the resurrection. What's that one you like, Andy? The stone roses. The words are awful. Awful. But it's the, I am the resurrection. There's a deeper meaning going on, apparently. It's not a word that we hear much, though, is it? In everyday speak, resurrection. Have you heard that in your workplace this week? No? Have you heard that at home? Do you just bandy it about? No? It's not a common word, but it's the most important word in history. Resurrection. Jesus, he's not dead. He's not dead. 3 days later, he is alive. It's through the resurrection that all of eternity all of a sudden becomes possible for us all. Through the resurrection, that all of a sudden our days don't need to look like they did before. That our days are fresh and new. That there's a hope because of the resurrection. We are so thankful. So here at Carlisle Vineyard, we truly believe in the fullness of the Easter story. So the Father in heaven, he sent his Son. His Son, Jesus Christ, is a tiny infant baby into a miry, miserly, horrible place, stable place. He sent him in all humility as his great rescue plan for the world, because he knew that without God that we would be lost forever. And so he sends his Son to the earth. His Son lives this life. He lives a life like us on earth. He encounters all the fullness of what we encounter here on earth. He is fully God, but fully man. I can't get my head around that. That's incredible. Fully God and fully man. He lives this life on earth. And he comes to seek the lost, He comes to bring salvation. He comes to bring healing. But most of all, he comes to tell us a story that our forever days can be spent with him. That our forever days can be spent where there's no more pain, where there's no more crying, where there's no more war, where there's no more sickness, where there's no more division in family, where there's none of that. And that one day he promises that we will go to this forever place called heaven. But the beautiful thing that I've discovered in the last few years is that he also welcomes heaven right here now, today, on earth. And he longs for us to see touches of his heaven kingdom come to earth through the likes of me and you. That we are to be the purveyors, that we are to be those who get to co-mission with him on this journey. That we are not worthless, that we are not second grade, that we are not, that we are so precious in his sight. So incredibly precious. That if there was only you on this planet, he would have died just for you. If there was only you on this planet, he would have come back to life just for you. That's the full measure of his love. Now, I don't know about you, but when I stop and think about that, that blows my little mind. And when I was 18, I discovered this truth for the first time when I just felt wrecked and ruined in my life. Where I had pursued nearly every avenue possible to find the hole in my life, to fill that hole in my life. And the Father just took me to a place and he showed me some daffodils. And he said, Ro, there's new life for you. There's a spring to come for you. And I want you to be my forever friend. I want you to do this journey with me, which is going to turn you inside out and upside down. But things are never going to be dull. It's going to be pretty exciting. It's not going to be easy. But you're going to see so much things change and be transformed when you make me king of your life. When you say to me, I want you to be king of my life. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is he doesn't barge his way into our lives and say, you must do this or you must do that. He comes gentle like a dove. And he says, do you want to come with me on this little journey? Do you want to come with me on this adventure? And I just really sense, you guys, for each one of us, that we need to be reminded of the resurrection life. Resurrection life. That's what, when we come and we give our yes to Jesus, then we enter into this thing called resurrection life. Resurrection. So not dead, alive! So that's the resurrection bit, right? So we're not lying down dead, we're alive! And you can't be half alive. You're fully alive. So you're not like there, because that would be very tricky when you're lying down to stay in this position, wouldn't it? You can't. Fully alive. And that's what he's invited us to in this journey. It's saying, will you be fully alive in me? Do you want to find out who you are and why you're here? Find it in me. And I'm going to take you on a journey which is just going to blow your mind. And what I love is that that journey is going to look slightly different for every single person in this room. Because we're all created slightly different. And he looks at each one of us and he's like, oh man, right, Phil Salmon, masterpiece. I just love him. DJ, I don't know if you know Phil, but you need to get to know Phil. Phil has this amazing fusion of being organized administrator with DJ. How does that come about in a person? Only through Jesus Christ. That's how that comes about. Beautiful creation. That is Uncle Bearded Bill at the back, who we're so glad is back. Uncle Bearded Bill in the back, who has this full measure of just a pastor's heart, Bill. I've not known many people like you with a pastor's heart. But you also would love to just go and climb the most random mountain on the planet. You'd like to challenge yourself to try and get up the rock face. You are such a beautiful fusion of a person, Bill. Chloe. Chloe, you're the safest yet most dangerous person. Like, Chloe, there's a safety about being around you because you're like a mother. But you're also dangerous because you really want to see the stuff in our city which isn't right come right. That's danger in the kingdom, and that's so good, Chloe, and we champion you in that. You're a beautiful masterpiece of a creation. And we could go around each and every single person in this space and call that out. But I've totally gone off track now, so let's go back on. So if you have a Bible there, and there's still some beside Jake and beside Macca, and there's a few down here at the front as well, if you would like one. We're just going to revisit the verses that we just spoke out last Sunday, which are found in Ephesians. So that's in the New Testament of the Bible. So if you look at my Bible, that's, yeah, sort of, you know, turn to the back and then go left. And you'll hit this one called Ephesians. And we're going to read from chapter 2 and from verse 4. Now, I'm just going to deeply encourage you guys to read this book. Well, the whole one is great. Like, the whole Bible, it's a good one. It's a good one. Bestseller for years now. It's amazing. But Ephesians is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And actually, Ephesians is one of the best books for us to get. Almost a blueprint of what church is like. Of God's plan for being church. And this book, so there's actually a place called Ephesus in Turkey. And it's just incredible that this guy called Paul, he came to know Jesus dramatically. Like, he was walking along the street and he was just struck by Jesus. It was incredible how the Father just came into his heart and changed everything about him. Absolutely everything about him. And he went on some travels and he went to visit some different places to bring the good news. And so when he arrives in Ephesus, there's probably about 12 people there that know Jesus. And he's writing a letter to these 12 people. So he goes for 3 months and ends up staying for 3 years. And just had a time with these guys. But I just want you to read these words which Paul wrote. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and wait for this, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Even though we were dead, that sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? Sometimes we see stuff like this in the Bible, and even the word sin can sound a little bit harsh in this day and age. Sin isn't a word that we use generally, is it? But basically, we all know that there's things in our life which aren't great, which weigh us down, which don't allow us to be fully who we're meant to be. And then we come and we present those to God, and we say, do you know what? I don't want this stuff. And I know you can take this from me. And it's like this beautiful, powerful exchange that he does. When he turns those things that are dead in our lives into life and life abundance, that's the divine exchange that we get to take. He gets to take that stuff, which is sin, which is death to us, which is not going to bring us life and life to the full. And he turns it around with his resurrection love. And it's all because of love. It's all because of love. All because of love. Grace, it's all because of love. Mercy, it's all because of love. It's all because of love. And I just love the simplicity of what this looks like. There's nothing that we can do. It's all about Jesus. It's all about just a life fully surrendered to him. Fully surrendered to him and his goodness. I love that he seats us in the heavenly realms. We are very important to Jesus. We are very important. There's not a grading of the people that he seats. We're all seated in the heavenly realms beside him. There's a place for us in heaven. And this isn't about what you've done. This isn't like you accumulate good points so you get enough credit to go to heaven. That's karma. That's not what we're about. It says here, salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done, so no one can boast about it. So we don't accumulate these good things just to be religious people. That's not what we are about at all. We live a life fully surrendered to him, and we just say, Jesus, I want you to be central, I want you to be all, I want you to be king. And then all of a sudden our lives start to look very different. Your life cannot stay the same when you fully surrender it to Jesus. It just can't. Like, fully surrendered. It can't stay the same. Because Jesus just comes in and he just wants to take and shape. And just wants to change things from the inside out. And he wants to just come into our hearts. And sometimes that's a painful process, right? Sometimes I realize the areas of my life that I want to keep to myself. And I want to control myself. But Jesus keeps saying to me, Ro, just surrender it to me. And every time, 100% guarantee, no fail guarantee, things change. Things don't look the same. I live a life of greater freedom. I live a life of greater release. And that's a challenge, right? Is anyone else that's a challenge too? Whew! That's why we need our family. We are family. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. We could sing it all together. I won't make you do it this time. Maybe next time. That's why we need each other. That's why we need each other. But when we secure our feet in the reality that there is going to be a forever time with Jesus, there's where the hope is, right? And when we don't give up hope, that those times of kingdom coming right now as well. Like, we've got to not give up hope. That's what the resurrection life looks like, doesn't it? Where we just don't give up hope that Jesus, all of heaven can be available right now. And that, there, people, is a deal changer. Isn't it? Because I live my life very differently than I did before. In that, understanding this, that heaven is available right now, rather than just one day when I die, and I'm a pie in the sky, and like one day, like that's amazing, right? But I live my life right here on earth, knowing that all of heaven is available to me here on earth. That changes stuff, big time. And then I hear that one of my dear friends, who's been through so many things in this world, that she has another massive thing happen in her world. And this woman is a powerful person for the kingdom of God. She is a powerful person. She's part of our family. And she's had another thing, which for some people is the one thing in their lives. But for her, it's about the 20th thing. And do I give up hope for her? No, I don't. Do I give up hope for her family? No, I don't. I keep praying. I keep surrendering this to Jesus because I know that one day her family will see healing. I know that one day she will see healing. I trust in that. I place my hope there that that's available to each one of us. And it's so simple. This is available for each one of us. Hope, peace, endless peace, grace, endless grace. It's available to each one of us. And all we have to do is surrender down and say, Jesus, I can't do this by myself. I can't do it. I've tried. I tried to do life by myself. It was rubbish. Like, it was really hard work emotionally, physically, in every way. And ever since giving my yes to Jesus, things have changed for me. They've changed. It's not got easier in some ways. But it's changed in that I have a forever hope in my heart. And this is when we get to practice resurrection life. So I think what the Father just has for us as a community is an invitation to practice resurrection life. To believe in the God of the impossible. To believe in the God who takes my disappointments. To believe that the God of all courage wants to come and put courage into the hearts that are discouraged. And this isn't like a G-ing up moment. This is a forever calling on our lives. To stand in the full measure of who he is. Who he is enough. Who he is enough. I drew a little picture while I was up in my little upper studio place. And just thinking, what is resurrection life? What is it? So it's light. It's being chosen. It's being loved. It's kindness. It's new creation. Understanding. Freedom. Grace. Peace. Inheritance. Without fault, forgiveness, confident hope, masterpiece, holy, and adopted into his family. I think we're just going to pray just now, if that's okay. And we're going to ask Jesus what he wants to do just now. So one of, I've just been reading this book recently called Practice Resurrection by Eugene Peterson. And he says in his book, when we practice resurrection, we continuously enter into what is more than we are. When we practice resurrection, we keep company with Jesus, alive and present, who knows where we are going better than we do, which is always from glory to glory. When we practice resurrection, we continuously enter into more than we are. When we practice resurrection, we keep company with Jesus, alive and present, who knows where we are going better than we do, which is always from glory to glory. Glory to glory. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to glory. So I'm just going to just invite Jesus to come right now. Here at Carlisle Vineyard, you've probably gathered this already, but we really believe that Jesus is alive. And we really believe that he's not this distant religious figure that we pray to, I guess. We believe that he's our best friend who draws near. And I just want to invite you, Jesus, just to come and draw near right now. Come and draw near to each of our hearts, Father. Come and draw near. Come and draw near. Come and draw near. You might want to close your eyes. And if you've never felt Jesus drawing near to you, I just want you to invite you to put your hands out in front of you or your hand on your heart and just say, I want to give this a try, Jesus. I'd love to experience you drawing near to me right now. His love knows no ends. His love knows no ends. I just want to invite us as well just to surrender those things that we've been keeping close to our hearts. Jesus knows about each one of those things, right? And he just longs for his kids just to say to him, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your life-giving presence. We thank you for your resurrection presence. We thank you that you long to bring the dead areas of our life fully alive. And Father, I just pray that you would just help us just now, just stand close to us as you reveal to us the fullness of life you had for each one of us. Fullness of life, abundance of life, life never ending, fullness of life. So I just speak joy out over this room in Jesus' name. I speak joy over the room where the enemies tried to steal joy. We speak joy back. And some of you have been through consistent situations in your lives where the enemy has been trying to steal your joy. And we're not having that, because joy is a gift from heaven. And so if you need some joy, just raise up your hand to heaven just now. Just raise up your hand to heaven. Just raise up your hand to heaven. Father, we just thank you that your joy is available in this space. That there's strength found in your joy. That you long to give us such deep inner joy, which fuels us, which sustains us, which propels us. And I just speak joy in this room. Joy in this room. Joy where it feels so impossible. Joy where it just feels like you've just been trudging through mud for a long time. And we speak joy in this room. Joy in this room. Joy which releases. Joy which just brings so much life. And wonder and awe with this joy. That we'd be kid-like with our joy. That we would not be like adults who are so sometimes just so self-contained. But we would be kid-like with our joy. You are a good, good Father. You are such a good Father. You long to take those areas of our lives that feel dead and bring them to life and life to the full. So we speak joy to those areas of our lives now in Jesus' name. Joy and release. Joy and release. Joy and release. Joy. Joy. Heavenly joy. Joy. I'm just going to invite Karen Mitchell, wherever she is, just to come up. She had a couple of words from heaven for us. I just really encourage you just to stay in a position where you're just got your ears fully open to what the Father wants to speak to you, but your heart as well is just in a place that wants to be saturated with his presence.
One of our small group this week shared something on Instagram which said, "What a wonderful thought it is that some of our best days of our lives have not happened yet." Just thought, wow. And that led me to think about the passage in Jeremiah. Now, we have to be a bit careful with this passage because it was kind of Jeremiah talking to the nations. So I think we have to think of our church, our city, and then us. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me in earnest, you will find me. When you seek me, I'll be there." And the other word I had was, you fit. Okay. In Corinthians, it talks about the body of Christ and that we've all got different gifts, and different parts. And I think there's people here that think, I don't know if I should be here. I've got nothing to give. I'm not good. I'm not good enough. Well, that's wrong. You fit. And if that's you, we need to pray for you because you fit. And later on in Corinthians, it says about gifts. And what it talks about in gifts, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, it says that the Holy Spirit decides which gifts we have. The Holy Spirit gives us our gifts. So if you think your gifts aren't valuable, then you're wrong. Your gifts are valuable. You fit and your gifts are valuable. And I think if anybody's feeling uncomfortable and not valued and don't know their place and don't know their fit, then just let us pray for you. Because you're part of this body, part of this church, this city, that God's got such a great vision for.
So we, you can sit down again if you want to. Do what you want to. If you want to have a little lie down, that's okay. Need to have a snooze. So I guess this is just an introduction because when we think about resurrection life, it's a massive theme, right? And when we think about being a resurrection people as well, it's a massive theme. And so over the next weeks, we're going to be just discovering this a little bit more. We're going to be just discovering what that looks like for us as a community.